This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN Radio 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. I'm with Ezra Ginsberg. I'm with Dave Minuk. I'm with all of you. We want to hear from you at Illegal Curve on Twitter. We're reading the tweets that we can get to. As you can imagine, it's been a crazy morning. 1290.90 via text message. Send your texts like this fine texter said. People hating this trade because they love Laine, but his days were numbered when he refused to sign long term. It's like forcing your girlfriend to stay with you, but she wants a breakup. You can't force people to stay. You're right, you can't. I'm a Laine fan, but I'm a realist. Dubois makes the team better. That's coming from Ed. Appreciate your text message, Ed. And, of course, phone lines are open, 780-1290-204, 780-1290. We'll head back to the phone lines where we're joined by Bobby. Bobby, good morning. Thank you for staying on hold with us. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Bobby, are you there? Looks like we may not have Bobby. All right, Bobby, you can call us back if you want, Bobby. Let's go to Lawrence. Lawrence, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. I'm fantastic, and I just want to say a couple of things. I think the premise of the question about the trade, I think I'm going to go to your comedy world and say, too soon. If we were having this at a comedy club, I would be heckling in the corner and going, it's too soon, fellas, it's too soon.
Your emotions are too raw.
You know, if a year from now you guys could have the same discussion, but I would like to reference in lieu of that Trouba, Seth Jones, Evander Kane, et cetera, et cetera. But undeniably, fellas, are the Winnipeg Jets a better organization because of this trade? I'm going to say, yeah. And now, the other thing that I'm going to say, or would like to share with you, is what's going to be the dynamic between Laine and Tortorella? What happens if Laine ends up having stomach flu like one of the Columbus players had? I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see that. I really wait for a year from now. I'd like to know when all the dust settles down. And I think undeniably Winnipeg's a better organization. They've lost two sources of what were at best negative energy on the team. I mean, Laine was a great player, but he was a negative influence on the team, and it was like a slow-moving bomb that with an extremely slow fuse, and it just took up way too much headspace of the fans, the organization, the players. So today is another day, and what a great day for the organization, and thank God for Maurice and Cheveldayoff. Thanks, fellas.
Lawrence, appreciate the call. Thanks for holding on with us for so long, and thanks for your comments. Lawrence, happy, of course, about this trade. I'm not sure I totally understand, Lawrence, and in general, guys. I'm not sure I totally understand the concept that Laine is a malcontent, which, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, as Darren Dreger said when he joined us about 40 minutes ago, you know, players nowadays, realize that the power that they have in being able to call their shots. And, you know, maybe the grass isn't always greener on the other side, but they certainly feel that it is. So Laine, as is his right, can ask for a trade. The Jets didn't have to accommodate it. The opportunity came up for where they thought that they could get, you know, a reasonable value in return.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think that makes the player a malcontent.
Well, it doesn't mean that Laine was a negative influence on the team this year or in previous years. If you listen to the players, and, you know, we do after and before every game, I mean, they certainly didn't say that. Yeah, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors when they have team meetings or, you know, when they're not giving their, you know, interviews and their Zoom calls, right, boys? But, you know, at the end of the day, you have three players, actually, that requested trades. So we are where we are, right? It's like that old saying that Jerry Seinfeld hates, right? This is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen him do that bit for his stand-up, right? Like, you knew that the clock was ticking, right, as far as all these players went. Roslovic wasn't coming back. Laine, you knew there was a good chance that at one point he would be traded. Again, we didn't think it was going to happen this quickly.
Right.
Certainly Dubois, after that happened on Thursday night, we knew, and we especially knew last night when Dregs mentioned, you know, this trade could happen as early as Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So this is a situation where there were obviously a lot of reasons for unhappiness, right? Like, we don't know, is it contract? Is it 50-50 contract? Is it 75-25 contract?
Sure.
In terms of, you know, Dubois and Laine and their representatives negotiating with Jarmo Kekäläinen and Kevin Cheveldayoff, we'll never know. But at this point, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
this trade has happened, and, you know, like we've kind of touched on here over the last couple of hours, you can't say, you know, is this a better trade? Nobody can. Chevy can't. Patrick Laine can't. Pierre-Luc Dubois, Jarmo Kekäläinen. Nobody's going to be able to say, I won this trade.
Right.
Obviously, both GMs probably think they won the trade.
Right.
But it's subjective. And we're going to have to wait as time passes and see how the teams do. Obviously, the players are going to factor in as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if it turns out that the Jets are going to have some playoff success and go on another run, you know, to the West Final and hopefully further, then, you know, you're going to probably say that the Jets have won this trade. I do want to say one thing in terms of what Lawrence said. It is going to be very interesting, I think, to see the Torts Laine demographic, because Laine isn't exactly, you know, your prototypical like type of player that Torts likes. We know that Laine likes to do his own thing, so it is going to be interesting. I'm not saying that there are going to be problems there, but we obviously know that Torts has no problem benching you. It doesn't matter, you know, what the name is on the back of your jersey.
Look, that shift that got Dubois benched, he deserved to be benched for that shift.
Yep.
I mean, there's no question. Now, I mean, was that the breaking point? Was that obviously a culmination of a lot of different things that led to that shift? I mean, you know, no question. I asked Dreger. I said, is that the type of effort Jets fans should expect from Dubois? And he said unequivocally no, that was obviously just the culmination of everything that had gone on.
I think what fans have to take into account, though, is that a couple of things. Number one, this isn't a show to malign Patrick Laine and to talk about Patrick Laine like he's a malcontent and Pierre-Luc Dubois is his golden child who's coming in. I think the reality is that, you know, players have their worth, and I think we're just talking about the situations. We're being pragmatic. We're being realistic. You know, the truth is that this wouldn't have been a situation in Winnipeg if Patrick Laine's, again, whether he knew they were going to do it or not, he was asked. He didn't really answer it, but his agents created this kerfuffle. Nobody was saying anything, right? Everything was right in the world, but his agents created this situation. And so it's not as if somehow it was created out of nothing. You know, his agents communicated with the TSN insiders and the other insiders and became a kind of a dynamic that you knew was going to become talking points in training camp. The Jets trotted Patrick Laine out on that first day. He spoke about it. Did he handle it as well as he could have? Probably not. Because Patrick Laine...
But to your point, his agents put him in an impossible situation.
Well, I was saying that before. I said, well, if you're his agent, I get it. I guess if you're trying to... The only thing you could be doing as his agent by doing that is forcing the Jets' hand. That's all you're doing. Because, again, remember, everybody on the outside thought the waters had calmed. So his agents threw a big stone in that pond to stir things up. That's the only reason they did it. There's no other justification. So the fact is, that got the tongues wagging. People started talking again, and it became a talking point. So it's not something you're not going to ignore. You're not going to like pretend like that doesn't exist. He has to be asked about it. He was asked about it, talked about it. And the truth is, and we cover this every day on the website and on our radio shows on Saturday, it hasn't become a talking point since. Nobody's talked about Patrick Laine as a malcontent. Nobody said anything negative. All we've talked about is his injury. Mm-hmm. And his status with the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah. And the fact he had a great game in the one game he was able to play.
Yeah. I mean, it's ironic that his last goal that he ever scored
is an OT winner,
which I just tweeted out. So I just think that's something that's important, because we're getting some people who are tweeting at us saying, oh, well, is Patrick Laine now going to be maligned? And I don't think that's the case here on our show specifically. And I don't think it will be in general. I think it's very raw. I think this is for folks, whether you're diehard Jets fans or you're casual. I think when you see, I mean, as he talked about this an hour ago, we don't see trades like this of this enormity here in Winnipeg, but generally in the NHL.
Yeah.
And the other thing I really kind of wanted to touch on, and I think it's important to really factor in, is, you know, this is kind of like a new NHL. Darren Dreger talked about it when we had him on half an hour ago. He said players have a different mindset. Players have more, it's, and I'm not saying that they're selfish. I'm just saying that players are speaking about, you know, and, you know, the numbers would back that up, right? Because the numbers would suggest that when players are in their, you know, opportunity to really excel as a player, and they're not earning their prime money because they're generally either in an entry level contract or they're in a bridge deal. But the truth is, I think that what Darren Dreger is saying is that when you have players of this magnitude, they are going to do things that we're not used to seeing from superstars generally. You're used to seeing a superstar get drafted by a team, sign the mega deal,
yeah,
and be done. And the truth is, and again, this isn't a Winnipeg thing, because Kyle Connor's a phenomenal hockey player, signed a 7-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Morrissey's a phenomenal hockey player, signed an 8-year deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got guys, Mark Scheifele signed an 8-year deal.
Yeah.
You've got Connor Hellebuck.
And I want to point out, though, quickly, though, Dave, that, you know, Connor from the United States, Morrissey from Western Canada, Scheifele from Eastern Canada.
Right.
So it's not necessarily that they're that these guys are "quote unquote" used to Winnipeg. They got used to Winnipeg, you know, when they came here, and they
Connor Hellebuck,
a guy Michigan from Michigan.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that it's not a function of is there a rot. I just think, like, look, sometimes things don't always fit the way you want them to. And I think it's just something folks have to accept.
Well, you know, to your point, though, and, you know, there's always been a lot of talk about, you know, the relationship between Laine and Wheeler and maybe Scheifele and sort of different cliques
dynamics
in the dressing room. I'm just reading a tweet here from my buddy Mike McIntyre. Jason Bell asked Blake Wheeler in a Zoom call that occurred obviously some time ago, this, you know, within the last, you know, 20 minutes or so or a few, you know, does Blake Wheeler have any regrets in how he personally dealt with Patrick Laine and other young players? Wheeler, and I'm paraphrasing the tweet here, Wheeler said he appreciates the question and yes, he does have some regrets. So that's, you know, pretty interesting, because there was always that talk, you know, is this a personality clash? Is the, you know, the supremely driven, focused, intense Wheeler, does he have an objection to Laine and his more, I'm going to call it Spicoli-like attitude to the game? And clearly, it sounds like Wheeler maybe said some things or did some things a number of years ago that created conflict or created friction, and he regrets that. And that's something I think a player in Wheeler's shoes as the captain, who's maybe learning how to be a better captain and how to deal with different personalities in the Jets dressing room. And that'll be interesting to see what he's learned from that and how that will apply to another young player like a Pierre-Luc Dubois, who, you know, sure, he's young in age and he's played a lot of NHL games now, but he's still probably learning how to be a consummate professional at the NHL level, much like Laine is as well. And you're never too old to learn new things. Let's go to break. Much more to come. Your tweets, your texts, your calls. We're going to try and bring you Kevin Cheveldayoff. He's going to speak to the media. We'll try and bring that to you as well. Nikolai Ehlers spoke to the media. Maybe we can get that as well. Much more to come. Laine traded. Dubois coming to Winnipeg. Roslovic is part of the trade as well. Tons going on. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
20 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. Obviously, the topic du jour, Patrick Laine being traded alongside Jack Roslovic to the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round draft pick. Reaction coming in now from different Winnipeg Jets players who are meeting with the media as part of the Zoom interviews. Nikolai Ehlers, we know about his close relationship with Patrick Laine. Here's what Nikolai Ehlers had to say about the trade earlier today.
Hey, Nick, clearly you and Patrick had a really, really good relationship. Just give us an idea of what this feels like for you and your reaction to him moving on.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously the tough side of the business. You know, he's a guy that I've had a really good relationship with since my second year, since his first year. We were roommates together on the first road trip. So, you know, we've been brothers since day one. So yeah, this is not very fun, but like I said before, it's part of the business. It's the way it goes.
Go next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Nikolai, thanks for doing this. As someone who is so close to Patrick, you would have had his ear, no doubt. I mean, can you give us any insight as to why he felt a change of scenery, another team might be best?
So we'll go next to Ken Weeb from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Ken.
Nikolai, I mean, you went through something similar last summer when it came to trade rumors.
I'm just going to say that has nothing to do with me. That's not for me to say. That's why I said no that quick.
Yeah, I wasn't going to ask. What was your initial reaction to the news? How did you find out, and what was your discussion with Patrick like?
Well, I found out like the other guys in there. You know, me and Patty are ones that, you know, we always joke around. You guys know that. We always chirp each other. So there's a little bit of joking, but, you know, we also know that we were roommates for 3 years. We've been really good friends for the last 5 years. So this is tough. This is not much fun. So he's a guy that I'm for sure going to miss a lot. Yeah.
Next to Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Ted.
Nick, you're obviously very emotional. How do you and your teammates kind of put this out of your minds to play a game tonight?
Well, like I said, you know, even though he's a really good friend and really good teammate, and you know, guys are going to miss him. We got a game to win tonight. So it's going to be business as usual. We're going to look forward and go out there and play the way we did last game and get the 2 points.
Just a few more. Next, Kelly Moore from CJOB. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, Nikolai. Just kind of wondering, we don't know how it's going to play out when Pierre-Luc Dubois gets here, but I would think because of the stature of the players you are, he could wind up being a line mate. Do you know much about this guy? And how excited are you about your new teammate?
Yeah, I mean, obviously very excited. He's, you know, everyone knows he's a great player. He's a big guy, and he can skate, make plays, and he's a very smart player. So, it's going to be fun to have him on the team, and, we're excited for him to get here.
Next to Jason Bell from the Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Thanks, Nikolai. You know, we obviously in the media enjoyed talking to him because we never knew what he was going to say next. And he does have a bit of a carefree attitude, obviously. But can you straighten people out, or and maybe even people in media, that this guy did care a lot? That was this a guy that we didn't see just how much winning in this organization and being his best meant to him?
He does care a lot. You know, he is the way he is. Everyone is the way they are. But he does care a lot. He hates losing. And, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, I myself am a guy who when I don't play well, I criticize myself a lot. He's a guy who does that a lot more than I do. So he cares about the game. He cares about the way he plays, the way it's going for him and the team. So, you know, all the things that may have been said about him are, you know, sometimes you just gotta not listen. But he does care.
And final question to Jean-François Chaumont. Go ahead, Jean-François.
Hi, Nikolai. I'm just curious to know, you played in Halifax in the Q. Pierre-Luc was a rookie in Cape Breton during your second season in Halifax. What do you remember of facing Pierre-Luc in Cape Breton at that age?
Well, honestly, he's kind of the same player as he is now. You know, he like I said, like he has the skill. He's a smart guy. And he has speed. So, you know, that he's been able to continue doing that and work on it and get better the way he has and become like a really, really good player is exciting. So I remember him. A lot of people do. So it's going to be exciting to have him here, and maybe we can talk about the Q.
That's Winnipeg Jets forward Nikolaj Ehlers speaking to the media via the Zoom call earlier. Obviously, you know, reacting.
Yep.
You know, you can hear the, you know,
it's palatable.
Yeah, it's palatable. You hear the, I'm going to say pain for lack of better adjective.
That's fine.
Right,
I think
now.
It's fair. I think it's fair.
You know, this is a guy who was obviously very close with Patrick Laine. We know how close their relationship was. We know how they would often give each other the gears. And, you know, for Nikolaj Ehlers, I'm sure this is a tough day where the business side of hockey really rears its ugly head.
Yeah, but I think it's clear also that he recognizes that is what it is. And I think most players do. I think, like, look, the days of guys playing on the same team for their entire careers is not something that you're used to, you're probably going to see very much, at least not the way it used to be. And I alluded to that earlier when I talked about players having more vocal voices than they would have at a younger age. So I think this is just something that you can hear it in his voice. He's a guy who's defending his close friend on the team about his desire to win. And to be honest with you, I don't know that anybody really questioned his desire. I mean, I never did, really. I saw the way he played.
Did you ever think that Patrick Laine wasn't, you know, giving it his all for the Winnipeg Jets organization?
I don't think I can think of one shift that I was like, he dogged it.
He had games where he struggled, where he maybe did it. He wasn't as offensively prolific as he wanted to be.
Of course, but we're talking about a player dogging it? No chance.
No. And I don't really understand where that reputation's coming from right now.
I don't think it is. To be honest, I don't think it's out there.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard it from more than a couple people.
Sure, but I mean, look, the guys, we watch and cover this team as much as anybody in the city. And we see all the games. And, you know, again, like I said, you don't see the behind-the-scenes stuff, but for what we're able to witness or bear witness to, I just haven't seen that.
And I think what you need to think about here as well is that what you saw earlier in Patrick Laine's career as an 18-year-old,
right,
as a 19-year-old, is not something that you saw especially last year or early this season, mm-hmm, right? So, you know, maybe you saw a player that some shifts wasn't back-checking as hard, for example, but that's not something
you
saw.
See that from Mark Scheifele still.
Well, I mean, with Pierre-Luc Dubois, again, that last shift that he had, the shift that everyone is going to be burned into everyone's memory,
right,
is not the real Pierre-Luc Dubois, right? And what I, you know, the Nikolaj Ehlers comments were absolutely palpable, mm-hmm, in terms of, you could tell, I mean, that was his best friend on the team. He mentioned it, right, boys? Like, he lived with Laine, but you might have a line with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Nick Ehlers, right? So it's pretty crazy that, you know, a trade just changes the dynamic of a team instantly.
Look, these guys... Okay, we're going to go to Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff live right now.
Necessary to trade Patrick?
Well, again, I think it's never an easy decision when you come into these type of discussions. But in this league, to make a trade of that magnitude, it involves trading the... Probably a lot of different circumstances that come into play. You know, certainly we live in a cap world. You know, there's always, you know, the projections of where things may or may not go. But to get a top center in this environment, is for sure. There's lots of teams that were in on this, just judging by the conversations that we've heard were out there with respect to the different teams' interests. So getting a player that's coming into his prime down the middle is something that we wouldn't have moved a Patrick Laine for anyone that didn't fit that certain criteria of a top centerman or a top defenseman. And when that opportunity presented itself, I felt it was necessary that we made that move.
We'll go next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks, Gregor. Thanks, Kevin, for doing this. It's always a fool's game to try and evaluate a trade hours after it's made, let alone even days or weeks. But is this one going to be maybe especially dicey in that sense because you've got two players that, I guess, in Patrick's UFA status, Pierre-Luc is 3 years. And I guess, Kevin, how does that factor into the risk that that both you and Jarmo are maybe absorbing here? Or is there some optimism that this could end up being a long-term relationship beyond just a few seasons?
Well, certainly, you know, we're looking, you know, forward to getting him in here, getting him acclimated and being a part of our organization. And we're, you know, obviously hopeful that it's a long-term relationship. But again, the climate in the National Hockey League has changed somewhat. You know, you look at the deals that were signed, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, they were all extremely long-term. But, you know, the way the cap has evolved and the way contracts have evolved, the guys coming out of entry-level deals are essentially looking at signing, you know, the shorter terms and trying to get the free agency quicker. So it's a little bit of a different phenomenon that had shifted over the course of last summer. That's why we were extremely ecstatic when we got, you know, the term that we did on Kyle Connor and obviously the term that we have on Nikolaj Ehlers. Those are the type of situations where, that's very, very important for an organization to is going to be different. You know, you're always going to, you know, look back at certainly at trades. But, you know, for us, it's about looking forward here. And I think that, you know, again, you know, the group that we're assembling here is something that, you know, we're excited about. I think if you look at Pierre-Luc's, you know, analytics, you look at how he drives plays through the, you know, the middle of the ice, and you look at his performance in the playoffs, like those are enticing things. He seems to rise to the bigger games, you know, in that regard. And, you know, he's looking for that opportunity to, you know, to play in a market that, you know, is crazy about hockey, and that, you know, he's kind of a hockey nut himself. And so that, all these things factor in, but, you know, again, we're hopeful that it's a long-term relationship, but like any player in this game, you know, there's, the future still lies ahead.
We're next to, Scott Billick. Go ahead, Scott.
Good morning, Kevin. Just wondering, can you provide any insight into what led to this? Because I imagine, you know, the first thought as a general manager wouldn't be to trade, you know, a potential generational scoring talent like Laine. But it's obviously come to this. So what led to this? Can you now kind of talk a little bit about how it got to this point?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things that, you know, come into any type of a situation, whether it's negotiations or whether it's when you ultimately make a decision to make a trade. And you know, we've had lots of conversations, his representatives and ourselves, about, you know, the different opportunities that maybe, you know, have been afforded to him. It's a difficult thing when a player comes into the league at 18 years old. You know, there's certain things that are, you know, afforded to them, you know, as a young player coming in. And, everyone just thinks that there's that natural progression that, you know, offensive output or, you know, playing with certain people or doing certain things is the, you know, the just a kind of a given as it moves forward here. But I think it all comes down to, you know, the opportunities. We tried a lot of different things, you know, with respect to, you know, like last year, obviously, I think, you know, Mark and Patty played together most of the year. And, you know, if you look at the analytics, you know, it just really wasn't working. And so it really just comes down to finding, you know, finding that right fit and you know, finding an opportunity, I guess. You know, like I say, you wouldn't make this trade, or I wouldn't make this trade, if it wasn't something that, you know, I felt was going to help our team to get better. And, you know, trading a player like Patty and you know, he's a great person. He has, you know, special abilities. You know, it's tough, but, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois is a big, hard, you know, two-way centerman that, you know, that makes other people around him better. And that's an important factor if you're trying to win. And that's what we're trying to do here.
We'll go next to Brian Munns from TSN 1290. Go ahead, Munzie.
Kevin, you kind of just touched on it right there, but, you know, we all understand it's a business, but from when Patrick joined the organization to where it is today, can you kind of take us behind the scenes a little bit as to how hard it was when you finally said, okay, we'll make the deal that a player like Patrick is leaving the organization?
Well, you know, again, I think we need to focus on the player that we're also getting here. Like the Patrick and Pierre-Luc were drafted, you know, number two and number three in the same draft. You know, so it's an opportunity again that we feel there's a better fit right now, you know, on a positional standpoint, you know, within our organization, given the elite wingers that we do have in our organization and obviously even another elite, forward coming in Cole Perfetti. So, you know, over the course of time, you know, we were fortunate. We won the lottery that year. We were a team that was, building and growing. But we were a team that wasn't necessarily, you know, in the point of tearing things apart and rebuilding. So there was a lot of, again, competition within our group, for ice time. And we had, again, good young wingers all trying to, you know, come up at the same time. Again, I think the opportunity that, was given and was desired. I think that's probably what led, to the, Patty's representative saying that, it was going to be best if maybe for both sides, if there was a change of scenery. So, again, that doesn't necessarily mean those things, happen, but when you get the opportunity to, acquire a positional, need for now and the future, you have to make those tough decisions. And again, with the strength of the contracts that we have with our wingers, it just it fell into place, and I needed to make this move.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Kevin, if you want to talk with someone in the organization about Pierre-Luc Dubois and get a sense of him, I guess you've got his dad working with the Manitoba Moose. What have you learned from Pierre-Luc Dubois through his dad, and how may that have colored this situation?
So really, honestly, we never clouded the issue at all. For me, it's this is about Pierre-Luc Dubois' play on the ice. Certainly we know what the type of person is because of the family that brought him up, and that was never a question. So again, you certainly have inside information when it comes to that. But as far as putting his parents or his dad in a difficult situation, we really never went down that path at all. To me, the two things are separate, much like the Adam Lowry, Dave Lowry situation. But that being said, I think it's a special moment for their family when the opportunity to see, their son play. It's kind of like, coming home, and hopefully this will be like a second home market for him, moving forward here. So I'm sure he's excited about that opportunity to be close to family, but I think about being in a market where hockey is, first and foremost, and the opportunities that come with the group of players that we have here to play with some really good people and try to win.
We'll go next to Jason Bell from the Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for this. I actually almost lowered my hand because I think you kind of just answered my question. It was going to allude to the fact that the other day, I don't think it's any great secret around hockey that Dubois, he might have made a bit of a statement with his last shift in Columbus. And I just wonder, you've talked glowingly about him, but do you see this trade as there will be an attitude adjustment for a guy like him who clearly wanted out of that situation?
Well, again, I can't really speak to, how things got to that point in Columbus. It's certainly, again, as an outsider, you think what's going on, but really you don't. And unless you're in those situations on a daily basis, and unless you're in that room, and unless you're part of that daily thing, whether you're a fan, whether you're a media person, or whether you're a general manager from another team, you truly don't know. You go on the knowledge of what you see on a course of on a regular basis. I think you know, the highlights should be of what he did in the playoffs last year. I think those are the clips that, you know, if you really want to see Pierre-Luc Dubois, that's the clips that you should look at. The rest of it, you know, again, unfortunately, sometimes these things, you know, happen. These are young players that, you know, are in a very, favorable, you know, kind of industry. It's a privilege to play in the National Hockey League, and it's again, it's an opportunity that you know, as you grow and as you, you know, learn more about the league, you know, you appreciate more. But again, for me, you know, those are the highlights. Those playoff highlights are the ones that I'm, you know, that are etched in my mind, and that's the true player.
Just a few more. We'll go next to Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
From the celebration of drafting Patrick and the early success he had to trading him has to be seen, at least on some level, as a failure. How much of that failure do you and the organization take responsibility for?
So again, I think that, you know, when you draft a player at that particular time, you know, you're looking to draft what you perceive as, you know, the best player that, you know, that is there. And, you know, I think that, again, I think we did that in, with everything that we had at our knowledge at that point in time. Patty's going to go on to be a, you know, a great player. Pierre-Luc Dubois is, you know, his numbers that he's put up over the course of time, you know, have proven that, you know, he's on a trajectory of being a great player as well. You know, it does come down to fit, and it does come down to opportunity. And, you know, maybe at draft positions or at draft times like that, you know, drafting for the best player in your minds that's available is maybe not the right thing to do all the time. But, you know, at that time, that's what that we did. And I think that both sides of fit have been able to acquire some things that they needed at that point in time in our juncture. Mark Scheifele was, you know, just still starting to come into his own. We had Brian Little, you know, in his prime, and you know, unfortunately, the, you know, the depth in the down the center of our organization got challenged, and now there's an opportunity to fix that. I think that's what you see when trades do happen, is that it's not about, you know, the glitz and the glamour of draft day. That's a snapshot in a period of time. It's what fits for your organization and what opportunities are there, you know, to continue a relationship moving forward. So I choose to look forward here, and you know, I think that this makes our team better, which is ultimately what, you know, what we're trying to do here.
We'll go next to Kelly Moore from CJOB. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thanks very much, Gregor. Chevy, just I guess a bit of a two-parter here. Would it be accurate to paraphrase this trade as you have dealt for a player who you think you might have a better chance to get to commit long-term than the two players you gave up? And if you could just explain when you could start the wheels of motion to trying to get a long-term agreement with the player you've just acquired in Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Well, contractually, he just signed a two-year deal, so you can't enter into negotiations for a longer term or any type of term deal until the player is in his final year of the current contract. So, you know, from that aspect of things, that process can't even start, you know, for a year. But, you know, as far as, again, you know, the first part of your question, obviously, I think that, you know, for us, it's, actually ask your first part again. Sorry, can you ask your first part again?
Sorry, just searching for Kelly here. I think we may have lost Kelly.
Oh, sorry.
We'll go next to Jeff Hamilton from the Sun.
I've had a few things on my mind.
Hey, Kevin. Speaking on the topic of opportunity, just when you look back at Patrick Laine's time here in Winnipeg, how would you assess his treatment, you know, as far as opportunity and whether you felt he got the best opportunity to be the best player you could be?
Well, I think that, you know, again, when you come in here as an 18-year-old, you know, you're treated a little bit differently. You're kind of forgiven for a lot of the different things that you know, go into your game, learning how to be a pro, learning the pro side of the game. And he came in here, and I think that we put him in a real good position to be supported and to be you know, surrounded by, you know, good solid players that gave him an opportunity to showcase his talents, and I think that he did. I think as it moved forward, you know, certainly he had increasing opportunity to continue, you know, in that regard. As you get to be more of a pro, I think that and more into your tenure, I think, you know, you want greater opportunity to be you know, with, you know, certain situations and play a certain amount of time and you know, kind of, you know, used a certain way. But at the end of the day, it's important that everyone understands that there's 20 some players on a team that are all, you know, vying for that same oxygen, you know, on that ice and in that space. And you know, we obviously moved, you know, him around, moved other guys around. I think we gave a real good opportunity last year for Patty and Mark to play together. And as I mentioned before, I think if you do look back at the analytics, it really didn't produce, you know, the results that kind of were desired by everybody. So I think that there's, you know, lots of things that, you know, have been done, but I think now, you know, given the dynamic makeup of our center position, I think that the opportunities for our wingers now are going to be, you know, fantastic, having, you know, two different style of players, you know, both very skilled, and the opportunities and the combinations that we can have moving forward here, I think are you know, great.
Go next to Guillaume Lefrancois from La Presse. Go ahead, Guillaume.
Hi, Kevin. I want to take you back a little bit to the 2016 draft. I'm sure you did your due diligence on Pierre-Luc back then. I was just curious if that at all played in that trade of you assess the type of character maybe that Pierre-Luc has.
Yeah, so, you know, at that point in time, obviously we were you're doing your due diligence on a lot of those players and a lot of those kids. And, you know, we really liked what we saw when Pierre-Luc was playing junior that year. He played a lot of wing. He played a lot of center. He was just really starting to come into his own. They moved him, I think, partway through the year from wing to center and, you know, really started to flourish there. And I think that, you know, the following year, he even flourished more, you know, after that. And it became very clear that move from wing, you know, at the time, to center was going to, you know, work out well for him, and he was going to be able to grow into that position. So, I think having that flexibility in his game, you know, shows, you know, tremendous hockey sense. And, you know, obviously, again, I go back to, you know, his performance, you know, over those years in junior was great. And, you know, the due diligence that we did back then, you know, certainly you go back over, you know, those notes, but I think it's, you know, the body of work of what he's done since he's been a pro, is something that, you know, weighs more heavily into, your decision to make this, move.
Go next to Sarah Leske from TSN. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, Kevin. I'm just wondering how soon you're hoping to be able to get Barrett to fly into the city.
Sorry, Sarah. I'm gonna get them to turn the volume up
here. Sorry.
Okay. Yep. Ask again. Sorry.
I don't know if you can hear me better now. Okay. Just how soon are you hoping to get him into the city and begin the quarantine so you can get him acclimated with the team?
I think you asked how I'm getting him to the city and the quarantine situation. So, you know, we're looking at getting a private flight as soon as we can for Pierre-Luc to get in here. You know, the quarantine situation, you know, is going to be real, and we're looking into it. I know that as a group of Canadian teams, you know, we're looking to see if that exemption that was there in training camp, the modified quarantine, you know, can be applied for again. again in the regular season. So that's something that we're hopeful, you know, can take place. But there's definitely going to be a quarantine situation that we're going to have to deal with here. And you know, the sooner we get him into Winnipeg, you know, the sooner that process will start.
Thanks very much, Chevy. Jets head coach Paul Maurice will be up shortly. Thanks, everyone.
There was Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff addressing the big news of the day, of course. Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic having been traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round pick. We still want to hear from you. Texts 129090. Emails. You can send us your emails as well. You can send us your tweets at Illegal Curve, and phone lines are open. 204-780-1290. We're going to go long. We're going to go with you until 1 o'clock, and then from 1 to 4, we're going to have Hustler and Brian Munns with you. All day coverage here on TSN Radio 1290. The big news of the day, Patrick Laine, of course, being traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
We're back. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're going to go long with you till 1 o'clock this afternoon, and then Hustler, Brian Munns, they're going to join in on the fun. It is a breaking news Saturday update here on Sports Saturday on TSN Radio 1290. That man is Ezra Ginsberg. That man is Dave Manuka. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. All about the trade, the huge news shaking the core of the Winnipeg Jets and the Columbus Blue Jackets, officially announced a couple hours ago. Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic heading to Columbus. Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round pick coming back to Winnipeg. We want to continue hearing from you at Illegal Curve on Twitter. Send us your text messages, 129090. Phone lines are open, 204-780-1290. Let's go back to the phone lines. Rob is on the line. Rob, good morning and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Good afternoon, boys, I guess.
Yes.
Kind of interesting to think now, and I was talking to Sean while I was on hold there about the fact that Dubois and Laine are basically trading spots in the smallest markets in each of the respective countries' teams.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is sort of, and you know, Dubois, you know, the point that he was making when he wanted to go to a, you know, a quote unquote, larger market, it wasn't in the size of the market. It was more in the hockey obsessive nature of the market.
And that's what you heard. As we know, Winnipeg has, as far as I can see, and I mean, I'm going back to the WHA. We have some of the most rabid fans this city has ever, that hockey has ever known.
Absolutely, we do. So I think if that's what Pierre-Luc Dubois is looking for, as you heard Kevin Cheveldayoff there talking about how, you know, he wants to be in a hockey-mad market and he's a hockey-mad individual himself, well, Winnipeg would certainly qualify for that.
He's got that in spades.
There's no question about that.
I mean, it'll be interesting now, too, as I was saying to Sean, the fact is that with Laine, look at the team he was playing with here and look at the team he's going to in Columbus in comparison. Like, star magnitude. I mean, we had three solid lines. I mean, I would be challenged to name pretty much any of their team, I could name more of their defense than their forwards.
You're not wrong, Rob. That certainly is a there is a lot of weakness, I would say, or a lot of question marks when it comes to up front for the Columbus Blue Jackets it pertains to Winnipeg. At least compared to the Winnipeg Jets.
I mean, Dubois,
Rob, appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate you joining us. 780-1290, 204-780-1290. Want to hear from you, your comments about the Winnipeg Jets acquiring Pierre-Luc Dubois. Let's read some of the texts that are coming in. They're coming in 129090. What a sad day. This coming from somebody in Toronto. Why do we always give up more than we get? Maurice should have let Laine play his game. You don't take a stallion and have him play like a pony. comment not really favorable about this trade. Another one coming in from Portage La Prairie. Chevy needs to be fired. Another transaction that he has lost. The draft is the organization's saving grace, and that feather in the cap goes to the scouting staff, not him. Another future Hall of Famer traded by the Jets. Unbelievable. You know, some passionate people are out there. There's a lot of people who like the trade, who say that the Jets' depth up the middle now is a Stanley Cup caliber depth up the middle. A lot of people saying you don't trade a generational goal scorer, a guy who can put 40 to 50 pucks in the net in a season like Patrick Laine. You know, I have time for arguments for both sides, and that's what makes this such a unique deal.
Yeah, but you have to factor in that he requested a trade.
Sure.
Right? So it's not like Chevy chose one day. You know, it's not like one day he woke up and said, you know what? I think I'm going to trade Chevy for somebody. Like, that's not what happened.
You trade himself.
Yeah, Chevy was trading Chevy, though.
No, pardon me. Chevy trading.
I know, we're just
Chevy trading Liney. Sorry, guys. Yeah. We're going a little long.
Your blood sugar's dipping down a little bit.
A little excited here.
Yeah. It was like 3.5 hours ago you had that. What did you come in with? Some sort of flaky pastry?
Yeah, I had a little cappuccino, a little pastry. I like to, you know, have
he
a
likes
few.
To class up the joint. Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at some of the trades Chevy has made, I would argue that he's probably won all of them. Right? Like, you start with the Jacob Trouba trade, right? Mm-hmm. He gets a first-round pick, Ville Heinola, and he ends up getting Neil Pionk, who is a solid second-pair guy. The Evander Kane trade, we're not going to go over that now. Winnipeg won that trade. I don't care what anybody says. What other trade do you want to talk about here? I mean, like, the Paul Stastny trade from St. Louis. Jets go to the West Final. I think that was worth giving up that first-round pick.
I just to quickly interject, and I think your point is well made, and I think it's the point we've been trying to talk about throughout the course of this show, is you don't judge, because remember, that Jacob Trouba trade is the perfect one to the New York Rangers. I mean, people were apoplectic. Neil Pionk, his analytics were terrible. I mean, the Rangers weren't very good. But everybody was talking about how bad this player was. He, you know, an undrafted player, a first-round pick. And you got Ville Heinola, who's looking like he's going to be a stud. And you got Neil Pionk, who you said is a very good second pair.
And, you know, we should mention, you know, just as an asterisk to that, I mean, Chevy did give up a first-round pick to get Kevin Hayes.
Yep.
So let's not forget about that. Essentially, you recouped a first-round pick. But taking the trade at face value, I think that was a good trade for Jacob Trouba. So I don't think Chevy has this. I would argue that he has a track record, the few trades he's made, because he would admit he's not a GM that makes...
Not prolific.
Especially compared to a guy like Jim Rutherford, Penguins GM, right? Like, Chevy's not an active GM like that. So I would say that his track record of trades, even though there's a small track record, is good.
Let's go back to the phone line. The calls are coming in fast and furious. Text messages, 129090, Twitter, @IllegalCurve. We'll get to as much as we can over the next hour. And, of course, Huss and Munsey are here with you till 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then there's a game tonight as well,
yeah,
in case
at
you forgot about that. No, not quite 11:30, but a late-night start as well. Let's go to Darwin. Darwin is on the line. Darwin, good afternoon, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Your thoughts on the news of the day.
I think it was a great trade. I think Chevy did a good job, hopefully. Well, we won't know until the Laine plays for Columbus and Pierre-Luc Dubois plays for the Jets. We won't know for another couple of weeks until they play a couple of games to see who got the better deal. But I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is probably going to play on the second line. I don't know who he's going to play with when he starts playing in a game in 2.5 weeks.
Appreciate the call, Darwin. You're absolutely right. It's going to be, time will tell. We're not sure when Pierre-Luc Dubois will be able to join the Jets. You heard what Kevin Cheveldayoff said, that they're trying to get an exemption. The Canadian teams are trying to get an exemption to the 2-week quarantine.
So it sounds like they drop it down to a week.
A week is what they're hoping for.
And it's safe to say that, you know, he's not going to play any games, like you said, certainly the next two games, but in the next week. So there will be some type of quarantine. And to Darwin's point there, it's not just a couple of games or a couple of weeks.
No, I agree.
Like, you got to remember, these guys are really young. They've been in the NHL now for a similar amount of time, 4 years for Dubois, 5 years for Laine.
Right.
But they're 22 years old.
Right.
So, again, I think that just, you know, take it with a grain of salt in terms of how you evaluate this trade. Most trades, you're not really going to know who won the trade for a year or two. With this one, even longer.
And you know, that refrain is something we talk about so often with players. Doesn't matter if they're just drafted or in this situation. But, like, think about how many times I've heard player X is a bust and he's not going to be any good. And I think to myself, like, Jansen Harkins. How many times did I hear Jansen Harkins was a bust? And, you know, again, not every player is going to follow the same path. I'm just saying, in this instance, we have to wait and pause. Like, again, there's nothing I hate more. This team won. This team won. Nobody knows who won. Because, again, if the Jets have tremendous success and don't sign Dubois, was that sufficient? We've talked about if you win a Stanley Cup, it kind of band-aids everything.
Yep. Sure.
If you can win a Stanley Cup, if you hang a banner, if you hang a banner on in your building, that's pretty much gives you a little bit of leeway latitude there. So again, what is it going to look like over the course, to me, the next 2 years for Pierre-Luc Dubois with the Winnipeg Jets, and whether they sign him to an extension? And if they do, then that's a win for the Winnipeg Jets. You got to focus on what is the win for the team. Because again, you're not going to compare two players, one being a center, one being a winger, two who do different things, and say, oh, well, it's, you know, this team won because they got X. But the reality is the Jets got what they needed. Columbus got what they needed. If Columbus can, again, turn Patrick Laine into a 50-goal scorer, which we all think is possible, and if they can sign him to a long-term contract, and we know his GM in Columbus, Jarmo Kekalainen, has been saying that they've already had initial conversations about getting him in the Columbus Blue Jackets family, I mean, that's a win for Columbus. So again, I we're so quick to be like, this team won. I just think you can create a situation here where the Jets have a victory and the Columbus Blue Jackets have a victory.
The number of people who are texting us that they have a Patrick Laine jersey for sale is actually quite remarkable. I'm not sure when we became Kijiji, but there's a lot of people who are looking for us to start selling their Laine jerseys on air, which I'm not sure that this isn't Swap and Shop. I'm not sure that we can necessarily
You're not listening to Tradio right now.
Exactly. More comments coming in via text message. We'll get back to the phones momentarily. There's a good one here about a minivan that I like. They want to see. Feels like we traded in our unreliable sports car for a fully loaded minivan. However, the minivan might be what we need. I thought that one was kind of clever. Well,
like, I'll speak for the guy who actually has a minivan.
Yes, he's very proud to drive a minivan.
Very proud. We got the 2017 Dodge Caravan, fully loaded. It's got, we have a screen with DVDs for the kids.
Yeah, for you. I've seen you drive.
When Naomi wanted to get the minivan, I was like, oh God, am I going to be a soccer mom? Like, what's going on? But we absolutely love the van. We take it to the cottage. So absolutely, if you are a expecting parent or a parent of a couple kids and you're a little reticent whether or not to get a minivan, just take it from me. Dodge Caravan. I don't think they make it anymore, but get yourself a used, get yourself a used
I have to say.
I've got heat warmers on that thing. I mean,
you have to say that his light depresses you?
Heated steering wheel. Too. I love it. I mean, my minivan, it's the best.
It's unfortunate because what I was going to talk about, I just got a message from someone saying this is about talking about the power of live radio. And what a boost this is, the fact that we happen to be doing our show. But then, unfortunately, it followed by Ezzy's segment there. So I'm not so sure I can necessarily say that anymore.
No.
But, I mean, what...
You've had a couple rides in the minivan.
Oh, we ride or die together.
That's the power and peril of live radio right there.
Yes, it's a double-edged
sword. Sorry to bring you down, boys.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Ty in La Brokerie has been hanging on. Ty, welcome to the program. Good afternoon. We're into overtime of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show right now. Ty, are you there? No, looks like Ty may have dropped off, so we'll try and get Ty back on coming up in a little while here. We still want to hear from you at Illegal Curve via Twitter. You can send us your text messages to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. I want to address something that we heard there, the possibility that the Jets are going to move Paul Stastny to the wing when Dubois is able to play in the lineup. I'm not sure that I would agree.
That was speculative.
Well, that was speculative from Kevin Cheveldayoff.
But he's not the coach. He doesn't make the decisions.
Fair enough, but there's got to be some... I think there's some discussion there. I don't like that idea. Go use your depth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure that all of a sudden at this stage in his career, Paul Stastny needs to be moving to the wing. I mean, at first glance and without having really done a lot of a deeper dive into the plausibility and the success that might bring, I didn't like it on its face.
Well, I mean, that's Paul Maurice and the coaching decision, right? Like, so, I mean, yeah, if you're going to ask me, where Paul Stastny is better suited, Drew, I mean, it's center, because that's the position he's played the majority of his pro hockey career, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. But, if you can have a third line with Paul Stastny as your center, and maybe you've got Christian Vesalainen and Jansen Harkins, we're not sure. I know Dave has said that, maybe a guy like Christian Vesalainen gets an opportunity on the second line, which would be funny because you've got one Finn coming in, one Finn going out.
There's
right?
Line A in Vesalainen's name.
Right. So, I mean, Christian Vesalainen is a guy that I'm going to be very, curious to see how he does today. We talked about it on the show. Dave has been doing a great job, you know, for the last several months covering, you know, the Jets prospects overseas. Vesalainen was playing very well over in Finland.
Yep.
And, you know, he's waited patiently. You know, he didn't have the best year, even though he finished the year well in Manitoba with the Moose. But, you know, he's a guy that I think you should look out for. But, yeah, I mean, those are good problems to have, right? Like, if you're looking at your lineup and you're able to have Paul Stastny penciled in as your third-line center, whatever, as your second-line winger, he's a good hockey player at the end of the day. He's a valuable hockey player, and the Jets' top nine is looking really good right now.
This certainly is. Interesting, you know, Paul Maurice, of course, meeting with the media as well right now. You know, Maurice taking blame for Patrick Laine's failures. You know, and Laine wanting out. So Maurice is shouldering that blame. I think a lot of that is probably true. And I think a lot of that has to do to insulate his players from any criticism.
Right.
Especially as we hear, you know, the talk from the company line coming out of Kevin Cheveldayoff and Paul Maurice right now is that analytically, mm-hmm. you know, Mark Scheifele and Patrick Laine didn't work well together. And that's certainly what the Jets are promoting as a talking point. And it's interesting, we can go back, was that just last week? It seems like it had to have been longer than that, when we had Micah Blake McCurdy on, who also said that analytically there did not seem to be a match between you know, Mark Scheifele and Patrick Laine. So, I mean, the interpersonal dynamics are fascinating. And I think they're always fascinating in any workplace. There's no question about that, you know, but in a hockey dressing room where there's egos and there's millions of dollars on the line, I think in this instance, it's particularly interesting to see now that the cover's being removed a little bit more about Blake Wheeler's relationship with Patrick Laine, certainly early in Laine's career, and Paul Maurice's relationship with Patrick Laine, and Mark Scheifele's relationship with Patrick Laine, and of course, we know how close Nikolaj Ehlers was with Patrick Laine, and all those dynamics sort of coming to the forefront right now.
Absolutely, and you touched on it earlier, Drew, the 18 or 19-year-old player that comes in these days, you know, there's much higher expectations than there maybe were as recent as 10 years ago. Right? Like, so it's not a new thing in the sense that, you know, Sidney Crosby came in as an 18-year-old, Alex Ovechkin came in as a 19-year-old, Connor McDavid, but, you know, as the years have passed, the expectations have been raised in terms of, look at, you know, Alexi Lafreniere, or look at a Tim Stützle on Ottawa, right?
Who won't play for the Senators tonight, right. by the way.
In that game that's taking place in about 12 hours.
In the game that's happening in less than 9 hours, Stützle out of the Senators lineup. Interesting addition to the Senators lineup, Michael Haley.
Tough.
Michael Haley,
tough
a big, tough guy. He's not going to give you much offensively, but you wonder if his addition is any carryover to how sort of the physicality that that ended Thursday's game and might factor into the thinking of taking Heinola out of the Jets lineup tonight and leaving Logan Stanley in after we saw Stanley sort of demonstrate some of his might.
Yeah, and Nate Beaulieu is a guy that can drop the gloves as well.
Sure.
So that I think is the thinking, but I mean, you know, Adam Lowry is capable. I mean, there are guys that can drop the gloves. Haley is a guy, journeyman, who played for the Panthers, Sharks. Obviously, you know, not going to be a guy that you're expecting to score. But, you know, going...
When the Jets see Michael Haley on the ice, and if they can get a good matchup against him, that's a good. That's a win for the Jets.
I wouldn't expect him to play more than 7 or 8 minutes, Drew. If that's the case, then you're probably not going to win the game. So when you're talking about back to the Laine and Dubois trade, I think that what is so amazing about what has happened is because this has happened at such an early point of their careers. And the point I was getting to until I was rudely interrupted by my host here is that you know, they expect more. And I think some of that has to do with some of the changes in not the last CBA, but the CBA back in 2012, 2013, right. where these guys see, and I made the, you know, comparison between, you know, a Laine and a Mitch Marner. Like, Mitch Marner, you can argue that he's maybe a little bit overpaid, but look at the point totals he's put up at, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old. So if you're Patrick Laine and you've already got a 44-goal season, you've already got a 36-goal season, right? Like, you're a point-per-game player, essentially, at this point in your career. Mm-hmm. You're looking at that and you're saying, yeah, why can't I be a $10 million a year player?
There's no question
I'm putting the puck in the net just like, you know, these other guys like Marner and Matthews. So, you know, that is a factor here. And Drew makes a good point in terms of, you know, the different different environments in Winnipeg and Columbus. Yeah, I think the coaches, there was a part to play, the leadership group in each city. You know, Columbus obviously is a different type of situation where, you know, it's not like Pierre-Luc Dubois was aspiring to be the first line center. He was the first line center. But, at the end of the day, I go back to what I was saying. Both markets are getting exceptional players. And even though there's going to be fans, I think, in some markets that think that they're maybe going to lose the trade, especially here in Winnipeg, because Line A was the second overall pick.
Yeah.
I think Jets fans are going to be very happy with Dubois as a hockey player and as a person.
Yeah. Sorry, Roger.
No, I was going to say, you can finish off the line before we go to break.
Oh, no, I nothing. I think it's just one of those points I just really want to hammer home, right, is this idea that it doesn't necessarily have to be definitive, you know, hours after this has transpired, that somehow you've got a winner and a loser and you need to declare. Again, I'm really of the opinion, and it's not because I'm just some cockeyed optimist, Billy Mumfries. The reality is, catch that reference?
I did. It's a Seinfeld reference.
So it's not a function of that. It's just a function of being pragmatic and realistic and saying to yourself, can these players help their respective teams? I believe in this instance, both can. I think the rubber will hit the road where you see contract extensions. And if you see those contract extensions happen, then I think both teams are winning. And I don't think there's a loser. I mean, again, at the end of the day, it's going to be about production, both individually and as a team. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, you really need, as a team, to want to win the Stanley Cup. That's got to be your goal. You're not there because you want a guy to win the Rocket Richard trophy. That doesn't do anything for you as a team. It means, the only thing that probably does is it means that you're paying out a bonus. But, like, realistically, as a team, you want to be a team that's there at the end hoisting Lord Stanley's Cup. So I think that has to be the focus. But again, like I said, I just don't think we need to be, bombastic and, oh, here's a winner, here's a loser. I just don't think it's a little too early at this point.
We're with you until 1 o'clock. And then after that, Munns and Huss are going to be in all day coverage today about the Jets trading of Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic to the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third round pick. When we come back, more calls, more texts, more tweets. You're listening to an extended version of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
20 minutes after the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're going to go back to the phone lines momentarily. We also want to hear from you at Illegal Curve. That's how you can reach us via Twitter. You can also send us text messages to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. And, of course, the phone lines are open, 204-780-1290. We want to hear from you. We'll start with Ty in La Broquerie. Ty, good afternoon. Welcome back to the program.
Taking my call. Now, this is a talk radio about sports, right? And you guys are the Illegal Hockey Curve, right?
Close enough.
I just want to clarify that. I haven't heard such vanilla talk in my life. I can't pick a winner. It's too soon to pick a loser. Come on, boys, make a stand. Let's not go right down the middle. It's time to actually have a conversation that, you know, can strike up a conversation. Like nothing ever happens big in Winnipeg. Let's make a show out of this, boys. They're winners.
Okay, Ty.
It's about a business.
Who wins?
The winners are the Winnipeg Jets. You get rid of two players that do not want to be here. You get a player back, you save yourself money going forward so you can sign other guys to a deal. Again, this team hasn't made it past the conference final. They have been sinking down since the conference final. You know what? This team wasn't going to get there, so you make changes to make yourself better. In the long run, you're better. Forget about what's on the ice. You're just better financially, and you have people that want to play here. The Jets are winners. Now, 3 years down the road, when he comes up and we can't afford him, it's a whole different story. But today, they're winners. And let's take that.
Thank you, Ty.
Again, I was calling about another controversy. Let's talk about the real transaction that was a travesty today. Heinola was on the taxi squad. You're telling me we get more of the car wreck that is Sammy Niku? Sorry, is that too soon?
No.
But no,
no,
but seriously.
Ty, you're wrong.
No, it's like, Dylan DeMello. Ty, Dylan DeMello is coming back into the lineup.
Yeah, Sammy Niku's not in the lineup tonight, Ty. Dylan DeMello's in the lineup. Logan Stanley stays in the lineup. Ville Heinola is going to come out of the lineup for tonight. We'll see how long it lasts. But you will not see Sammy Niku in the Jets lineup tonight. Ty, appreciate your call. We have a lot of more callers we have to get to. So let's keep going on the phone lines.
Love you, Ty.
Yes, thanks, Ty. Thanks, Ty. 204-780-1290. Comments coming in via text and Twitter as well. Let's go to David. David, you're on with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Good afternoon.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. From what I understand, he's going to be making under $4 million Dubois this year. That's going to open up a lot more cap space, right?
His cap hit this year is $5 million. His actual salary, which should only really matter if you're Mark Chipman or David Thompson or their accountants, is, I believe, his actual salary for this season is $3.5 million. So the Jets will get a little bit after the Jets have retained 26% of Patrick Laine's salary, it's basically a wash when you look at the salary cap ramifications for this season.
Oh, okay, I see. Perfect. Thank you.
Well, there you go. I'm pleased that we could answer your question so succinctly.
And also for David, I mean, when you factor in that the AAV is $5 million, that's much less than Laine would be making.
You're talking about for next season.
Yeah. Yes. Laine's contract is, his AAV is $7.5 million.
That's right. Yeah. So next year, yes, your Jets are going to save some money next year when you consider the financial ramifications as well. So many comments coming in via text and via Twitter. We want to hear from you at Illegal Curve. Text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. And the phone lines are open 204-780-1290. Comment coming in via Twitter. Will you take my call if it's just 2 minutes of breathless sobbing and whimpering? And yes, we will take that call.
You know, and I think that's a sentiment that we're seeing quite often, right? There's a lot of people who are lamenting the loss of Patrick Laine. I mean, you don't have a player of, and Sarah Leske talked about it, which seems like 14 hours ago, but was really at 9:15, talked about the type of personality Patrick Laine had, and he really did have kind of a, I don't want to say larger than life, but he was a big personality, and I think you don't see that. Again, we're a smaller market. We don't necessarily have a lot of that, so I think that's what a lot of, hey, look, people saw, you saw that when Dustin Byfuglien was gone.
Yeah.
That's what people loved about Dustin Byfuglien, that larger than life personality. And I think they liked that with Patrick Laine. So I think that's why you're seeing a lot of consternation from the fan base.
This is a good comment. I think it's coming in from Corey on Twitter at Legal Curve. I don't think fans realize that number one centers rarely, if ever, become available, especially 22-year-old centers.
Absolutely.
Chevy has struggled for years to address center depth, and Chevy and the Jets lucked into this one. I mean, I think Corey makes a valid point there. Look, I don't like losing Patrick Laine either. Patrick Laine did things on the ice that players don't do with the ease that he did it. The way he could shoot, the way that he could score goals.
The way he could pass.
The way he could pass. You're right, David. You know, he was a remarkable hockey player, but if you take a poll of every general manager around the league and you ask them what's more important, a number one center or a number one winger, each and every one of them would say the center.
Right. And now, that's why Darren Dreger reported, and Pierre LeBrun and Aaron Portsline reported, there were as many as 20 teams interested in Dubois. There, no offense to Jack Rossovic, I don't think there were 20 teams that wanted to acquire him. So that shows you how he's considered, right? How he's valued in the NHL world. So you're right. I think that, you know, all things being equal, this was a really good trade. Nobody ever, like, we don't want people to think that, you know, we're being absolute Chevy defenders and we're saying that, you know, Laine deserved to be traded or there was something wrong there. I mean, everything was pointing towards Laine being traded. That's just the reality. And he was, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Laine is an unbelievable goal scorer. He's got a fantastic personality. He's one of those guys that, you know, when he walks in the room, you know, he makes everybody happier. Like, he's just that happy-go-lucky type of personality.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 204-780-1290. Remember, after us, Hustler and Rick will be with you up until, I think, 4 o'clock this
afternoon.
Did Munzee
turn into Rick?
No, there was a quick swap of because Munzee and Kevin O have game coverage later on tonight.
Yeah, tonight, midnight on TSN 1290.
Starting 8 o'clock tonight. There's going to be all-day coverage here covering the Laine for Dubois trade. Let's go back to the phones. Darren is on the line. Darren, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Hello?
Do we have Darren? Hi, Darren.
Hello,
can you hear
Gregory.
Us? Oh, hi, Greg. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Let's just say this. I'm getting visions and shades of the Timo Solani trade, and do not at me on this Twitter. Spare your comments on Twitter if you could find me. Number two, the comments, the question and answer from our captain, Blake Wheeler, which is virtually, I will say, very, very colorful in nature. I have lost all confidence in Blake Wheeler from this point forward. This is a generational goal scorer that we just gave up. This guy is going to score 500, maybe 600 goals in the National Hockey League. This is going to become a trade that might become could go either two ways. One, it could go majorly up, or it could go down in a blaze of glory. And I think that in my crystal ball, it's going to be the option B rather than option A.
Greg, appreciate the call, and thanks so much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Obviously, Greg, not in favor of this trade, as we're hearing from a lot of different callers and texters and tweeters throughout the course of this morning and now into the afternoon.
And again, we talked about that already on the show.
Yeah.
This isn't a Chad Kilger, Oleg Tverdovsky sort of deal. The reality is you got an extraordinarily capable center. So again, this is the one-for-one trade that we talked about when we were talking about this however long ago, Drew, and you were talking about Eichel as a possible guy. Now, we knew Buffalo wasn't looking to deal Eichel, but the fact is that's what you were saying was going to be necessary, was a bona fide number one center.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Jets got. And again, I know people aren't going to be happy because you're giving up a guy who could put the puck into the back of the net, but it's not – this isn't the Timu Solani trade all over again. Look,
and Greg isn't, and I was just going to say, Drew, quickly, you know, Greg is entitled to his pin, and just like everybody else. I wouldn't read too much or, like, take Blake Wheeler's comments with a grain of salt. I don't think that you should take those as anything more than they are. He's just kind of giving a straightforward
answer. I thought
answer.
Wheeler was honest and impressively right. So, where he said that, you know, the manner in which he handled Patrick Laine when Laine was entering the league was probably, and I'm paraphrasing, was probably not appropriate. He handled him in a manner in which he, in hindsight, regretted handling him that way. Two players wired differently. You can get the most out of each other in a different manner, and Wheeler, you know, himself saying that he probably handled it incorrectly.
Yeah, and that was 4 years ago, and we all remember, you know, when Sarah interviewed Blake, and he said that year, that it was the 2018-19 season, the year after the Jets went to the West Final.
When they lost to St. Louis in the first round.
Right. No, it was before that season, I believe.
No, I think it was after that year, because the year with all the controversy.
You're right. So it was after the 2018-19 season. You're right, Drew. That's why you're here, to make me look good, because God knows I need it. That was very honest from Blake, and he said, like, that was 2 years ago, and he said, I need to kind of maybe take a step back a little bit. Maybe I was too intense, you know, that year. And so this is a different Blake Wheeler, a more apologetic Blake Wheeler, but I don't think that you should read too much into that in terms of, you know, losing, you know, Greg was saying, you know, I've lost confidence in him as a captain and, you know, I'm paraphrasing, you know, where he's taking this team. I wouldn't really, you know, read too much into that. I think he's just being honest and saying that, when Line A was 18 or 19, maybe I was a little too hard on him.
And that's, you know, hindsight being 20/20, and you learn from your own experiences and everything else. You know, it's a fascinating dynamic, and this has been a fascinating day, to be perfectly honest. Tom, Matthew, Mike, JP, stay on the line. We're going to get to your calls after this break. We want to hear from you on Twitter, @IllegalCurve. Send your text to 129090 as well. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're into overtime here, live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Saturday afternoon now.
Yep.
That was weird to say. It doesn't sound normal, but that's okay. Saturday afternoon. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're going into overtime right now, covering the Patrick Laine trade to the Columbus Blue Jackets. If you're just joining us, Laine and Jack Roslovic to Columbus in exchange for Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third round pick. Keep your radio locked here to TSN Radio 1290. Following us, we're going to have a special appearance from Hustler and Rick. They'll be with you this afternoon. And of course, we got coverage later tonight of the Jets and the Senators. That's a 9 o'clock puck drop. Munsey and Kevin O going to join you, I believe, at 8 o'clock tonight to talk about a hockey game, believe it or not. That seems like it's sort of happening in a bit of a vacuum.
Well, you know, it's funny. There really is good symmetry, though, here in terms of everything that kind of how it all came about. You have a kid in Jack Roslovic who's from Columbus.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of like through that Columbus product.
Columbus youth hockey.
Hockey. You know, he was when the Columbus Blue Jackets were first brought to Columbus, he was a season ticket holder. So for him, that's got to be coming full circle. You got Patrick Laine's existing relationship with Jarmo Kekalainen, the GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. And you have Pierre-Luc Dubois' dad, Eric Dubois, as an assistant coach with the Manitoba Moose. So it just is very interesting to see. And we always talk about how tied together hockey is, but just those lines of connectivity within this trade.
Let's read some text messages. Winnipeg definitely won this trade. Laine was leaving anyway. At least they got a stud in return. Torts, John Tortorella, won't coddle Laine, and there's a good chance he will be out of Columbus soon and possibly out of the NHL and playing back in Europe.
I would not bet on that one.
I'm just afraid there, Texter, I would not bet on that one. Dubois will be making a difference in Winnipeg. That's amazing, some of the comments you get coming in, but we love it. At Illegal Curve on Twitter, 129090 via text message. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Darren on the line. Darren, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for staying on longer to address the fans' concerns here on a strange day in the NHL.
No question, but we're thrilled to do it. What's on your mind, Darren?
Just a couple of questions. First-time caller, 40-year hockey fan here. Understanding that Patrick Laine wanted out, but I also understand that I don't think the Jets got fair market value. I mean, sure, Patrick Laine wanted out, but I'm pretty sure that Dubois' situation in Columbus was a lot more severe. Laine would have played out the season, but I think we all agree that Dubois had played his last shift with Columbus. So if Dubois was a better player than Laine, and we all agree that Cheveldayoff and the Jets have a great coaching staff, they could have picked Dubois ahead of Laine. Unfortunately, they picked Laine ahead of Dubois. Okay, so let's just say that's a saw-off. Now we've got Roslovic, another first-round pick. We could have let him sit. He had no leverage whatsoever, and we basically gave up a second first-round pick for a third-round draft pick. I think we're getting short end of the stick here, gentlemen. Just your thoughts. And I realize that everyone's saying, well, Laine didn't want to play here, but Columbus was under a lot worse situation than us. So they almost pulled the wool over our eyes instead of the other way around. So just my thoughts. I'd love to hear your guys' opinion. Thank you.
Darren, I appreciate the call. We appreciate the call. There's certainly an argument to be made, I think, that, you know, Jack Roslovic's inclusion, when you consider that he was a former first-round pick, mm-hmm. You know, would sour some people on the return for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, and there's certainly a strong argument to be made that the Jets mishandled Jack Roslovic's trajectory when he was, you know, at an AHL level, and then they brought him up to the NHL, and he was playing on the wing when he was always thought of himself as a centerman, and it sounds like John Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to use him as a centerman. So I think there's definitely an argument to be made there that the organization, and Paul Maurice in particular, mishandled Jack Roslovic. So, I mean, your opinion is totally valid, and I appreciate the call, Darren.
And, you know, I just add on to what Drew just said, Darren. I think that from the perspective of leverage, I think you're right in the sense that the Jets had Laine. He was here. He was playing. He obviously had a big impact on game one. There wasn't a hot potato situation where you needed to trade this player because there was a discontent. I mean, because the reality is you dealt with it, like I said earlier in the program, they dealt with it on day one of training camp, and quite frankly, it wasn't going to become a source of conversation realistically, again, as far as I was concerned, throughout the course of the season. Maybe here in Winnipeg. Obviously, when he goes to other markets, that could be something that comes up. But generally, here in Winnipeg, it probably wasn't. But the truth is, I just think that, you know, from a leverage perspective, Darren's not wrong. Like, the reality is, that situation in Columbus was untenable. Whereas here, it wasn't something that needed to be dealt with today. I just think, from Kevin Cheveldayoff's perspective, he saw an opportunity to trade away a player he didn't think he was going to sign long-term to acquire a player that maybe he had some insight, we don't know, that he was going to get that was going to have an impact on his hockey club this year and potentially for years to come.
I think it's a perfect storm of events that if if what happens in Columbus doesn't happen,
right.
I'd be shocked if Cheval Day off had
We're
traded Line A midseason.
Absolutely not.
But because of the perfect storm in Columbus, and you heard Darren Dreger on with us a little more than 2 hours ago, you should listen to that interview. It's available on illegalcurve.com. It's also available on tsn1290.ca. 20-plus teams were heavily interested in Dubois. And so for the Jets, you know, maybe they didn't have the leverage that they may have had because of the amount of interest that was there in Dubois from around teams in the NHL. Comment coming in via Twitter. Sorry, but this is a massive win for the Jets. Line A can't drive a line and won't be happy under $10 million per season. Who will pass it to him on Columbus? He can't break coverage to get open 5-on-5, and apparently a third-rounder was all anyone was offering for Jack Roslovic. So, and that's an interesting comment coming in via Twitter. We want to hear from you at Illegal Curve. 129090 via text message. Callers keep coming in. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tom is on the line. Tom, good afternoon and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Tom, are you there? Looks like no Tom, so we'll try somebody else coming up here momentarily. Let's go back. Matthew. Matthew is on the line. Matthew, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Have you guys had a chance to, and I have not caught the entire show, but if you guys had a chance to take a look at what this does for the Jets' cap situation for the coming year, because I think it's really interesting.
We have. So what the cap situation, the way it works, so the Jets, I'll remind everyone, retained 26% of Patrick Laine's salary cap hit for this season. So basically, the Jets are in the same salary cap position they were in yesterday, before this trade, because they retained that salary. Now, where it Right. makes a difference is next year, where Dubois is under contract at $5 million for the next year's salary cap hit, whereas Laine was going to be an RFA who was obviously going to earn more than $5 million. So for this year, it's a wash. For the Jets, it gives them a little bit more flexibility next season. So that's where the Jets would be, quote-unquote, winning salary cap-wise.
And what I've been looking at and thinking about with regard to that is, I mean, maybe you don't consider it particularly likely that Cole Perfetti was going to be ready to be a second-line center next year. But a second-line left winger, maybe that's in the cards. And if you've got Perfetti and Hainala and Sandberg all on entry-level contracts with Perreault and Stastny coming off the books, there's a possibility for the Jets to go out and actually spend to address their issues on the blue line and to even potentially build out a bottom six that's competitive. So I think I was looking at it, and it looked like, you know, even if they re-sign their players with, you know, extensions for Pionk, et cetera, they've got about $10 million that I could see to spend on upgrading their defense next year, if not a little bit more, that they can go out. And I know it's tough for Winnipeg to get free agents at times, but that's making a big splash kind of money. And that's something they couldn't do with Line A, you know, looking for upwards of $9 million potentially next year.
I appreciate your big picture perspective of the trade. That's nice to see that you're looking at it from the macro sense as opposed to from the micro sense of the maneuvers, Dave.
Well, and I agree with Matthew. I think that what we've talked about throughout the course of the show is the idea of insulating a guy like Cole Perfetti. He's not going to come in and be your second line center. The Jets haven't done that. Most teams don't do that. Most teams don't thrust a guy into that role mm-hmm. without a little more age, a little more wisdom, a little more strength in his game to just take that at the NHL level. So the reality is this gives you the chance to insulate him somewhere in the lineup and not have that expectation that he's going to come in there and need to be a second-line center for the Jets because they have that hole. So I'm with Matthew. I think he gives the Jets a lot more flexibility, not necessarily obviously for this year for the reasons Drew's outlined, but I think next year will be a very interesting season for the Winnipeg Jets and to see what they can accumulate because of the way the cap is set up.
Great call from Matthew. We appreciate it. One more tweet to read, and then we'll head to break. The Screaming Moist on Twitter says, "This is depressing news. Another star player wants out of Winnipeg, and we have to ship another versatile first-rounder with him to get back one guy. Line A is a generational scorer, and we trade him? I'm sick about this." Appreciate that tweet. @IllegalCurve is how you reach us on Twitter. 129090 via text message. And, of course, phone lines are still open. 204-780-1290. When we come back, more tweets, more texts, more calls. We're all about Line A for Dubois. It's been a busy day here into overtime on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, one final segment for us on this Saturday afternoon. Huss and Rick following us at 1 o'clock, so stay tuned. Keep it locked here on TSN Radio 1290. All day coverage of the big trade, Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic to the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round pick. And then, of course, later on tonight, there's actually a Jets game. The Jets and the Senators, Munsey and KO, will take that for you starting 8 o'clock tonight. We want to hear from you. At Illegal Curve, comment coming in from Sid. Did anyone watch 21-year-old Pierre-Luc Dubois dominate the Leafs last year? Dismantle was the word he used. He dominated Matthews and Tavares, played 20-plus minutes a game. That's true. If you want to look at Pierre-Luc Dubois at his best, go back to the bubble last year in Toronto. He was a force to be reckoned with. The Leafs had no answer for him. Let's go back to the calls. I believe we have Mike on the line. Mike, good afternoon and welcome to the program. No, maybe the mic looks like... No, okay, Mike is gone. Let's try another caller. Let's try JP. JP, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you, guys. To me, it comes down to Blake Wheeler is playing in Line A's spot, and really, they're just trying to get that cap. He's not going to sign for less than $10 million. Line A, and he would have never fit into our cap, and now they're getting back a way more versatile piece that they can actually slot somewhere that makes sense in the top six. And so, to me, it's all about Blake Wheeler. Not enough room for Blake Wheeler and Patrick Laine.
JP, appreciate the call. Appreciate your opinion. I'm sure that the salary cap ramifications can't be overstated here. You have two factors. One, Laine did request a trade, and I'm of the opinion that the Jets need to find out why that happened. I believe they do need to, they can be happy with the return. They can be happy getting Dubois back.
But that's happenstance. But, cause to your point, if what happened this week didn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, are we having this conversation?
Well, we're not having this conversation right now, but we'd be having this conversation, or the Line A trade talks would continue into the offseason,
sure,
for sure. But I do think the Jets organization needs to find out why Line A wanted out and do an investigation and maybe, for lack of better terminology, a soul search to see if there was something that they did wrong that they can rectify so that this doesn't become a continual problem. That's what I would do if I was running the team, if I was running the organization. And if my culture wasn't great, I'd want to find out why my culture is not great. And I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but that's my perspective from this opinion, that the Jets organization should be can be happy about the return for Dubois,
sure,
or for Laine, in that they have Dubois and they can be excited about Dubois. But I think they do still need to investigate why it came to this point.
I'm of the opinion that it's probably just something like you're trying to, you know, fit a round peg into a square hole.
Sure.
Except it's not a square hole. But anyways, you know what I meant. The point is, I just don't know that it necessarily, and again, we talked about it, it doesn't necessarily have to be one way or the other way. But, I mean, when you have a collective group, you're trying to fit within that culture. And so perhaps that's the greater message here, was that, and I think you're going to have a guy who will, the truth is, and people are like, oh, look at that last shift. But, I mean, what else can Pierre-Luc Dubois do but be a choir boy? I mean, he's got to be on his best behavior.
Yeah.
Because you can't display that a second time. Now, the reality is, as you and I well know, the Jets are going to put him in the best position to have success because they need him to obviously sell a narrative that they want to sell.
It's a referendum on Kevin Cheveldayoff and
absolutely,
Paul Maurice.
Yeah, like you're not, like we talked about it. This is, I think you said, or I said, or some, maybe we both said at some point in the summer, this is the most important year for Kevin Cheveldayoff.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've had 10 years. This is the 10th year of the Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't be middling. Not with the core of talent, not with the expectations, not with what you did a few years ago. You can't just have one year of success, Western Conference Final, and then rest on your laurels because you've got nice pieces. And we said, you have to be able to go for it. And again, the one thing that people need to focus on, I think, is that there is a ton of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you don't necessarily, you aren't privy to. So when we make assertions, you know, it's sometimes a lot of it, and you don't want to be speculative, but there's a lot of conjecture involved. And it's dangerous because you don't know all of the, you know, the numbers in the equation. And it's kind of hard to come up with an answer when you're missing some of the points.
That's it for us. As I mentioned, Hass and Rick are going to join you for extended coverage of this trade, so keep it locked on TSN Radio 1290. We want to thank all of you so much. You've made this a very entertaining last 4 hours. Your tweets, your texts, your calls, all greatly appreciated. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Zappia Group Realty. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Can't say enough about the excellent job producer Sean did back at the station today with a chaotic day going on. We appreciate Sean's work. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Stay tuned for more coverage of the Line A for Dubois trade all day long here on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.